Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday morning, March the 1st, 2015. Boy, it flies, doesn't it?
I'm getting older and older.
And it does fly the faster this thing runs. I am very grateful to be with you as we take a look at some interesting questions that have been sent to me by former students. Yes, yes, yes. I get them from time to time. I'm very grateful for them. And I thought you might find this a bit interesting. Maybe so, maybe not. I hope so. And if you ever have a question that I might, you know, be able to help you with, I would be honored. I really would be. If you come to the website at aspire.org, you will see at the top of the page, contact. And all you need to do is hit that button and let me know what's on your mind. And if you want to tell me who you are and where you live, that would be lovely. And if not, that would be equally lovely. And it doesn't really matter because it's your question that matters to me. I want to remind all of you once again that this radio program is supported solely and entirely upon the donations of sponsors who, through their generosity and their vision, could see the value of doing a radio program such as this and offering Aspire TV programs, etc., etc. If you're on our website at aspire.org, all of this is offered to you by the generosity of sponsors, and I want to thank them. And I hope that you will join them and help us to sustain this program. Let us go. First question comes from Lee Ann. All of these people that I am going to be talking to are living in the San Diego area. What is a retreat? I used to come to the center years ago, and I never went to one, and I always wondered, is it about confrontation? Is it about relaxation? Do you have periods of relaxation? Is it about massage? Leanne. I know students who are listening right now to this this broadcast and are laughing probably uproariously because it has nothing to do with any of those things, Leanne. It is rigorous, to say the least. It is revealing, to say the least. It shows you exactly where you're at. You have to have a certain mentality to do what I do and offer. The students that I have are very unique people, extremely unique. You wouldn't be able to recognize them on the street. They're very odd, like I am, and they reflect their teacher because I am odd. I'm the Pied Piper of oddity, and only those people who have a deep-seated core of interest in love, who are not indifferent due to the fact of how they have lived so gratuitously and how they have interpreted life through the human heart, which needs to break. And that's what we're going to be working on at Mount Madonna in March, this month, in a week or so. They're going to have the chance to really get involved in what they've done to themselves and how to turn it around. I think what you're asking, Leanne, and I remember you, you're probably asking, is this going to be rejuvenating to your ego? Is it going to be, shall we say, model coddling your emotionality and giving you a feeling of inner security that no one is going to confront you about your emotionality? I do not attack people at retreats ever. And if I sense that a person is not ready for, let's say, a gestalt or is having a difficult time with their ego, I don't go after them. I am not here to hurt people intentionally. Sometimes I'll do a gestalt with a person just to see where they are, see what they can handle, try to understand the nature of them. Help them understand the nature of themselves and how far they can go. My retreats are not there as a form of entertainment in a person's life, not at all. My retreats are there to help you move along the path and go down the path a little further beyond the idea and the conception of right and wrong, good and bad, to move beyond the seat of human emotion and egotism. So when I offer a retreat like I do, and I give it to people in order to sustain their practice and help them understand what we are really doing, it can get gritty. It all depends on you. If you're fragile, if you get hurt easily, you shouldn't be at a retreat. I can guarantee that. And I discourage that with people. I generally only do retreats with people that I can do sessions with in order to help them. I've never met a person who really could do a retreat and have it be transformational who could not be, let's say, in session work with me where I am helping them understand the nature of their mind and the practice of meditation and what the depth of silence is really all about. I can't help them. I just can't. Some people try to attend these things when they're new to the whole thing. They try to test the waters, as it were, to see what a retreat is all about. But typically, they don't get much out of it. They don't mature and grow. I don't feel, Leanne, by your question that you would be a candidate for being with us. We have moved a great deal down the road of our spiritual path, and for you to come might be appalling to you, might be frightening, because the bravery and the courage of the students that I have to really look, you know, smack dab at their own stuff and how they work upon themselves and where their weak points are and where they don't want to see and what they don't want to see is going on is could be quite threatening to you. And you would be sitting there shivering thinking, oh my God, he's going to call on me and da-da-da this and da-da-da that. And that wouldn't be a very good situation for any of us, because it's all about consciousness. To miss a retreat due to the fact of anything in and of the world is a sign of a true spiritual weakness and frivolity in the egocentric category of one's life. So I don't think you would be comfortable or thrilled or happy with being with us, but that doesn't mean you couldn't start a practice. You could start it at home and maybe work with the meditations a little bit, call me, do some session work with me, let me see what I can do for you and with you, and go from there. And if you can do something like that, then you begin the road. It might never end up at Mount Madonna with us, or it might, I don't know. But I remember you, Leanne, and I remember the kind of things that you personally found offensive and struggled with, even in my presentations in class. And unless you have grown maybe deeper or more fully, I doubt if you would do very well in this. But I love your question and I honor it, because at least you're asking, and that is something. That is really something. If you wish to really go further with all of this and seek the way, then give me a call. We'll sit down, we'll talk about it, and I will try to help you. When you enter into an authentic spiritual practice, Leanne, it is not always a pleasant affair. It is not always something that people enjoy. Retreats are not about enjoyment. They're about revelation. They're about revealing. It's peeling that onion and that layer of the onion back over and over and finding new layers and new layers and new layers until you absolutely realize this would be an endless journey to peel back these layers. Maybe the real journey is just to throw the onion away and go for the love that lives within. People are confined in this lifetime by their egos. Their illness is the human heart. They don't really want to see that, but it is. The illness of the human heart creates all sorts of terrible things for people. Things that they have to live with, things that, they don't understand. They have consequences to them. You can blame whatever you want. It is my human heart that has caused all of the problems in my life and has killed the manner of my own spirit. So there you are. It's not time for you yet, darling. It just isn't. But give me a call if you're really serious. I'm going to send you this MP3 here. And if you're really serious about your question, this is an earnest one. I'll hear from you. If not, well, we both know. Leanne, please forgive me, eh? Namaste. People, people, you people. Everybody thinks this is like a holiday. What I do or what I offer at Mount Madonna, or this is an elective. You don't really need it. Really? So how is this all going to work out for you, as I always ask my students? How do you think this works out? You were born. You were conceived out of probably no love at all, just lust, which was called love, out of the human heart. And then you lived in a human carcass for a while. And in living there, you imbibed the vibrations of your mother and father and the relationship your mother and father were having with each other, which I can guarantee you wasn't a very good situation at all. And then you popped out and came into the world, turned upside down, spanked the first thing you felt. And from there, it even went further downhill. If you start to think about it, you were raised in a family that was loveless. You were touched by people who were indifferent to love. And pretty soon you become acclimated to this. It's like a bird learning how to be a fish. But you never really feel comfortable in your environment. You know something's wrong, but you don't know how to combat it. You don't know what to do with it. You know something's wrong, but you don't understand what it is. And so you try to adopt ways and means of your family and friends and culture and society to fit in, but you never quite fit in. Never quite. It's always something a little wrong here, a little wrong there. And then the next thing you know, you're an oddball, and you're sacrificing the things that are most important to you just to have people love you and be around you. You make your own children. You fulfill the cycle that your parents did by doing it yourself, and you have sex with people you don't love, make babies you really don't want or that you hope will keep your love together or fulfill you in some way, kind of selfish, and then you expect life to reward you for all of this. It doesn't. Then you think something's wrong with life, and then you realize there might be something wrong with you. But it's too late by then because you already realize inside yourself you're a goner. You've so heavily invested in the human heart and the ways of the human heart that there's nothing left for you. There's nothing left. You can't let it go. You can't keep it. You live in this quasi-hell. And you wonder what the heck happened to you. Now you know. Next question comes from Leah. Leah, not Leanne, Leah. You tried to help me many years ago when I went to the center, and I thought that you were, quite frankly, wrong and nuts. Well, after all these years, 20, now I can see that I was the nut. How do I return when I no longer really can, Leah? I remember you too, Leah. Yes, you got locked out of med class because I told you to come early, to be there precisely at 7 o'clock. And you came at 7:15 and just thought you could waltz in. I remember you. And the door was locked. And you couldn't get in and you pounded and pounded on the door, but no one answered, and that was the last I ever saw of you. Yes, I'm a nut. I'm an absolute nut. I don't know anything about what I'm talking about, and I understand that because I am not appealing to the part of you that wants to be entitled. I am appealing to the humility of you. Instead, you chose humiliation rather than humility. And that was a crucial problem in your life. It's a crucial problem with most people. Don't feel bad. Leah, I don't remember exactly what it was that you wanted out of me or what I gave you that you thought was nuts. But I am sure it was nuts to you because the language I am speaking as I am speaking it now makes no sense to the person who has the pedestrian mentality of just living to get by, living to get what you can get, to have good times as many as you can, and then hopefully laying on your deathbed, remembering them, going over and over them, and then thinking inside yourself, well, it was a good life, and you croak off. Most people live for the idea of having as many good times as they can and then hopefully having enough money to have the drugs that take them away from the moment of their death where they don't have to look at their life. And I understand all of that. And you, as I remember, were one of those people. You have to understand something, Leah. You were right. It's too late. You can't get back. Because so many defense mechanisms are there, so many of them. Your idea of morality, your idea of right and wrong, your idea of good and bad, your staunch belief in what you want and what you don't want and what you think you should have and what you think you shouldn't have, all of that is playing out here. And you are right about all of that. I know there's a part of you that wants to come back. It's probably your authentic heart just nudging you ever so slightly. But your human heart will win because it is nothing but the formulation of indulgences that you have had over the course of your lifetime that have made you believe and think that your poop don't stink, that it's other people's poop that stinks, not your own. So it makes it very difficult for you to have the humble attitude to come back and sit and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Meaning the will that lives within you, the will of love, the will of kindness, the will of compassion, the will of the heart, not my will, but your heart's will. I don't want you to feel bad about this. It just needs to be treated in an open manner. A lot of my students are exactly like you are. 100%. Exactly. The only difference is they hung in there because they had nothing better to do. Had they found something better to do, they would have done it. But the better would have only have been something that put them in a spiritual wheelchair. And they're all right with that. They don't much care about that. They think, I'll get it another time or whatever. Somehow it'll all work out. That attitude. Somehow it'll all work out. It doesn't all work out, and it's never working out the way it seems to. Putting off your spiritual practice is a form of high neglect, and that's what people do. They're neglectful of love. They're neglectful of kindness, of disciplines that bring love and kindness to their life. We live in opposition, basically, Leah, to our karma, instead of living in the flow of our karma, living in the harmony of it. We resist it, and the more we resist it, the more difficult it becomes for us. And we never learn that. That just that simple truth right there, we never seem to get. We're always so busy trying to get what we want, get what we think will make us happy. And in the end, it just adds more and more karma to the mix, and we become more and more miserable. You said something here in your email that was really interesting. How do I return when I no longer can? That was really powerful, and that's what caught my eye, Leah. Yeah. It would mean you'd have to drop everything. You'd have to drop pride and vanity and fear. And women don't like dropping fear. Men like to think they're conquering it. Women like to think they have men who will conquer it for them. They can hide behind men, and that's the way they live. We miss the whole effort of our life, the whole meaning of our life, the whole substance of our life, because it is all about what we believe in and what we don't believe in, what is right and what is wrong, what is good and bad. I can't help you with that. It's sad. It really is sad that you've gone so far and can't come back. But that's the way. And should the time ever really come, and I say this to you as I say to Leanne, where it's more important for you to shed your ignorance and indifference for the sake of intelligence and love, I am here. Call me. We'll talk. We'll see what we can do with what's left of you. And we'll see. And when I say what's left of you, I mean what's left of your heart. Because that's the only authentic part of any of us. Thank you for writing me. And please forgive me. Namaste. How far do you go with your life, taking it to the extreme of great pain and stupidity before you can't come back? That's a really interesting question, isn't it? And it's one that most of us are afraid to answer. And you have to ask yourself, have I gone over the line? And there is a place where we become a do-over, as it were, and a do-over and a do-over. At least if you're showing up for sessions and practice and retreats, you have a chance to change it in any given moment. But just to succumb to your willfulness and your indifference and say, well, what the hell? It doesn't matter anyway, I'm a do-over, is, you know, kind of a sad and pussy way out, don't you think? Hey, Sherman? Oh, okay. Next question. Nothing in my life has changed, says Mary. And this was a lady I used to work with at the center when I was teaching formally. My life, I want to believe it is changing, but to be honest with you, Greg, no. How do I awaken? How do I find awakening and begin the process of change, Mary? Mary, I worked with you for a few years, and you were stubborn and indifferent, and you didn't want this, and you didn't want that, and you had a plan for your practice. And I remember that. You had a plan where you thought this should happen. If this is an authentic practice and really showing me the way, then this will happen, and that won't happen. And that was not the criteria for an authentic practice, but you made it that way. So it became very difficult for you. And I remember that. And we used to go round and round and round with all this horse manure. And you would never see the light because you were insistent about what you wanted and what a spiritual practice would be. You used logic and reasoning to try to rationalize your evil. And it didn't work, and it won't work, and it doesn't work for any of us. You're not the only one. I've had a lot of students do that. The practice isn't here to perform for us, Mary. The practice is here for us to harmonize with our karma, to recognize our karma, and then to awaken to it as our friend, not our enemy. It is there to help us understand what our past lives have been all about and the energy we have accumulated, and then to change that, to go into another modality, into another way, into another beauty, into another harmony, into something much more beautiful than we can imagine. But we don't do that. We live in hate. We live in fear. We live in anger. We live in self-righteousness. And we just want to keep that going over and over and over again to nauseam. We don't want to see the way of our heart and the livingness of the heart and what it is trying to offer to us. We just want what we want. When we live a life seeking to only appease the human heart, we lose the meaning of our life. And then before you know it, we don't care about the meaning of our life. We are indifferent to it. For you to come back and to really work upon yourself would take a Herculean effort. You would have to be willing to face your own humility and the humiliation of that humility. And I find that most people, at least in my 42 years of being a teacher, they can't do it. And you're just too far down the road. Blessed is he who sees his way and changes it. But I don't think you're one of those people either, because this email doesn't show any spark of humility yet. But again, I say to you, if you call me, we can sit down and chit-chat, and I can find a way to reach you. I will do everything I can to help you, everything I can. But it all depends on you. It all depends on your willingness. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow, huh? Some great questions that have been put to me. And I want to thank the people who were brave enough to send these to me. And I want to thank you for listening, and I hope it helped. I want to thank my sponsors once again for their kind and loving support. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.